This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
There's so many things going on. But the first thing that I wanted to quickly discuss briefly is the Jerusalem Magistrate Court yesterday dismissed a claim that Ehud Olmert, the former prime minister, mm-hmm. was expressing good faith opinion by saying a year ago that former prime minister Benjamin Netanyahu exhibited crazy behavior and his wife and son suffered from mental illness. That was apparently a claim that Ehud Olmert made. And of course, the Netanyahu family sued him for libel as a result of those claims. So yesterday, the Israeli court ruled that the former prime minister, Ehud Olmert, had actually defamed Netanyahu and his wife and son in the process of making these claims. And as a result of that libel conviction, he was ordered to pay damages in the amount of approximately $18,000 to the Netanyahu family. And he was also ordered to pay costs, their legal fees. Of course, he had to bear his own legal fees in the process. Now, this is just another one of those cases which the former Prime Minister Netanyahu and also what we understand to be the incoming Prime Minister, because he does seem to be making progress towards cobbling a coalition together. It's one of those cases that he's been involved with. Ironically, Ehud Olmert and Netanyahu both represented the same political party during their tenure as prime minister. Ehud Olmert, of course, also having had his legal difficulties, was convicted for fraudulent activity and spent some time in jail. But this little spat that went on where he claimed that the former prime minister exhibited unstable mental behavior and made the same claim of his wife and son were very, very widely reported. So the court handed down damages of $18,000. I suspect that Olmert is quietly saying to himself, that's the best $18,000 I've spent in a long time.
It strikes me as being very low in terms of defamation. I mean, I think if somebody said that I was completely loony, I would hope that my reputation was worth more than that.
I don't know. If someone said it about me, I might agree with them, Howard. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, then it's hardly defamation. It's just an interesting one because it was clearly meant
as a principle in an unfriendly way. It was clearly meant in an unfriendly way, and of course the case was principle, and it was a principle trying to be exercised, and of course Netanyahu's legal team were very, very quick to claim victory in this particular case, and were happy that the court ruled as they did. So that was the one thing that I wanted to just snippet in before we get onto the main stories. The other little snippet that I wanted to add is the medical shortage that Israel is suffering right now. Apparently, 150 medical lines of medications are not available in general supply. And while much of the shortage has been limited to painkilling drugs and, non-prescription medications in the pharmacies, many of which can be replaced by something relatively similar and so hasn't had a major impact. Now, apparently, the impact is becoming greater. There is talk about insulin being in short supply, heart medication, psychiatric medication, things like that becoming in short supply. And there are warnings that Israel's general health system may well be impacted, may well be compromised as a result of the shortage of these medications. The reason for the shortage is not abundantly clear to me.
That's what's going to be my next question: is what is the cause? What's the root of this?
So where I've tried to examine and research why there is such a shortage, it seems as though, first of all, there is a global shortage of medication in some form or another. I'm not sure that other countries are suffering quite the same shortage that we are. So why is Israel suffering more of a shortage, if indeed it is? I'm not sure. The reasons that have been quoted include, you know, the aftermath of the corona pandemic, general supply chain issues across the globe that have been experienced, many of which, of course, also are in the aftermath of corona, the war in Ukraine, call it what you want, whatever you think about is a good reason why there is a medication shortage. But there have been warnings issued by the relevant authorities here saying that this could be a major problem. And in fact, the head of the Pharmacists Association has said that the escalating drug shortage poses a danger to Israelis' health. That's what he said. There were reports about a month or two ago of shortage in medication for epidurals for women trying to give birth. And of course, epidurals are not only used for women giving birth, but also for other reasons as well, giving people local anesthesia. And there were reports of pregnant women being very, very nervous about going to labor for fear that there might not be the relevant epidural medication. That seems to have passed. But in the meantime, things like blood pressure pills are unavailable, psychiatric drugs, heart medication, it seems to be intensifying. I'm not sure that there is an answer at the moment. Some of the drug lines have had replacements recommended, but not everything has a replacement. And if you think about insulin, for example, it's not so easy to find a replacement if your insulin supply runs out. So things like that are, of course, very, very concerning. And this has been raised up at government level for some sort of a response on an international basis in order to try and source medication that's required here.
Right. There's been a positive progress in reaching a coalition agreement and forming a government. What's the latest on this?
Well, yesterday it seems as though people started to become a little bit more flexible in the way in which the negotiations were being handled. And so we understand now that Shas leader Aryeh Deri has accepted the fact that he will not be Minister of Finance. And in fact, Shas leader Aryeh Deri had to break off his coalition negotiations yesterday because the spiritual head of Shas, the rabbi who's the spiritual head of Shas, is unfortunately in a very, very serious medical situation. He is 94 years old and he is unfortunately not very well. And so Aryeh Deri went to the hospital to accompany him to try to help him through this medical crisis. But in the meantime, of course, in the background, coalition negotiations went on. And it seems as if though the Shas party has now accepted that they will get, instead of the Ministry of Finance, that they will in fact get the Ministry of the Interior and the Ministry of Transportation. So it seems as if that Aryeh Deri is destined to return back to the Ministry of the Interior, the place of his original crime. They found him sitting in jail for almost 2 years for fraud when he was previously Minister of the Interior, but it seems as though he is headed back to that particular ministry. And it seems as if though Bezalel Smotrich will ultimately get the Ministry of Finance. Now, he really wanted the Ministry of Defense. That was where he had his heart set. He's not going to get the Ministry of Defense, but we do understand that his party will have a minister in the Ministry of Defense who will be responsible, we understand, for issues relating to the West Bank, to Judea and Samaria. That's at least what one of the TV channels was reporting yesterday. In addition to that, even though he will be finance minister, apparently there will be certain elements of the finance ministry that will be taken away from his responsibility, such as budgeting and a few other aspects as well, in order to try and keep the ultra-Orthodox parties happy that the allocation of funds will be, according to the coalition agreement, and the Minister of Finance won't be able to scupper anything that has been agreed upon in the coalition agreement. So it seems, in addition to the Ministry of the Interior and the Ministry of Transportation, that the Shas party will also receive the Religious Services Ministry, the Health Ministry, and the Ministry for the Development of the Periphery, including the Negev and the Galilee. Those are ministries, apparently, which will be going to the ultra-Orthodox Shas party. And it seems as if that leaves the path clear for Yoav Gallant, who is a Likud member of parliament, a member of Knesset, for him to become the Minister of Defense. He, of course, is also a former very, very senior military leader. So it seems logical that he would take that position in the Ministry of Defense. And it seems as if, though, Ron Dermer is destined to become Israel's Minister of Foreign Affairs, also representing the Likud party. So at the moment, the puzzle pieces seem to be falling into place. Still a long way to go to hammer out all the minor details, but at least now we're starting to get some sort of a picture of what might be, and the fact that people are finally being willing, showing some sort of a willingness to compromise and to take on things that they weren't necessarily hoping and intending to get.
Mm. When does this have to be concluded by?
Well, the official period of time for the putting together of the coalition is 3 weeks. It is possible to request an extension to that three-week period by applying to the president. I have little doubt that if the president was asked to grant an extension, that he would do so without hesitation. But more or less, we're running into the period now where we would need to see a coalition coming together. And if the progress that was shown yesterday continues today and tomorrow, I suspect that the 3 weeks may well be enough. But as always, it won't be done until the very last minute. We can obviously assure ourselves of that, because there will always be some last-minute brinkmanship taking things down to the wire.
The Mossad is reported to have provided information to MI5 in the UK about an Iranian terror threat. This is an interesting story.
Well, it's an interesting story from a few perspectives. The first of which is, of course, the fact that this is just the general story, the pshat, as they would like to call it, that MI5 is being fed this information by the Mossad to help them. And in fact, the Director General of MI5 Security, Ken McCallum, did say last week that Iran has tried to kidnap or kill at least 10 UK-based individuals since January of this year. So he did acknowledge that there was quite a significant Iranian threat on UK soil, but it was actually Israeli Channel 11 that reported last night that the Mossad was the agency which tipped off the UK's MI5 about these Iranian terror threats to British citizens in recent weeks. And it's very fascinating that not only that the Mossad is feeding this information to MI5, but the fact that it's become public, because this publicity is not something that we're accustomed to seeing.
No, I was going to ask you that, because I'm sure this happens all the time. I'm sure it does.
It happens all the time. Mm. I mean, I think that the intelligence agencies and the security agencies do help each other along the way from time to time, obviously according to interests, because as we all know, without common interest, there is no sharing of information. So to the extent that the Mossad and the MI5 see themselves as having some sort of common interest, they would share information. So it's interesting that they did find a common interest, and it's interesting that it's come out now in public. And I think that this just shows a recent trend that we've seen, and we've spoken about it before, that this information is now being made public. Once upon a time, we would never have heard about this, and it might have been written in somebody's book 25 years later, released from security with special permission. But these days, it just seems like information which we would consider to be highly confidential and very, very secret, suddenly leaking out into the public domain. So, you know, more than that, we don't really know much about exactly how the Mossad managed to gain this information, but clearly we know that the Mossad is very much on the case of Iran, got a lot of information about Iran, and is obviously, according to this report at least, sharing it with other security agencies.
Mm. Azerbaijan announces that it'll open an embassy in Israel. This was amazing news.
This is amazing news, and the main reason why it's amazing news is because this is the first Shia Muslim country in the world that will have an embassy in Israel. Up until now, we know, of course, that there have been other Muslim Arab countries that have opened their embassies in Israel. That's already become something that we've become relatively accustomed to since the peace agreement with Egypt and with Jordan was signed. Of course, those countries have had embassies in Israel too. But now it's the turn of Azerbaijan. And while Azerbaijan might not necessarily be considered as one of the main players on the international stage, I think this is a very, very significant breakthrough after we've seen the signing of the Abraham Accords. And I think that the Abraham Accords to some degree have really opened the way because it's now become commonly understood, accepted public practice for Muslim countries and indeed obviously for Arab countries to sign a peace agreements with Israel and to open embassies. Now it's the turn of Azerbaijan. So I think that this is really a significant move forward as the first Shia Muslim country to open an embassy in Israel. And we hope that it'll be the first of many more in the future. There are still a number of countries out there that Israel could potentially reach peace agreements with and have embassies open here. Let's hope that this will be the first of many more.
The Hungarian president was in Israel on Thursday. We don't have a lot of time, but just tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is just an interesting story because she met with President Isaac Herzog when they were both in London to meet the Queen. Not to meet the Queen, but for the Queen's funeral. Mm-hmm. My apologies, for the Queen's funeral. And this is, of course, President Katalin Novak. She was only elected as president of Hungary about 6 months ago. And she made a visit to Israel on Thursday. She met with President Isaac Herzog. She also made a visit to the Kotel for the second time as part of her visit to Jerusalem and the Old City. She also met with Prime Minister designate Benjamin Netanyahu and other dignitaries. And she's expressed a real desire to come back to Israel with a more official visit on an official delegation to bring members of her government as well for a visit. But I think what's significant about Israel's links with Hungary, not only the history, Jewish history, in Hungary, which of course President Isaac Herzog mentioned to her, but also the fact that there are many Israelis in Hungary right now dealing with the Ukrainian war situation, and Hungary's been very helpful to allow Israelis to be there in order to set up a base to help with the war effort. So all in all, it seems as if Israel and Hungary have a very, very good friendship and a good relationship.
Anthony Reich, thank you as always. It is 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.